This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Nation.
It's on us. Let's get it.
It's 9 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game Tonight as we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Vastly beyond, it's Tribble tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The big news today, of course, Kirk Cousins benched. Michael Penix will get his first career start on Sunday against the Giants. Don't sleep on the Giants. Yes, the record's terrible. Offensive putrid, likely led by Tim Boyle. But they have a pass rush, and they're going to come after the rookie. Hopefully he is digested enough to where he can slow the game down. But as for Kirk Cousins, it seemed like it was inevitable. I would have done it a few weeks ago, but I understand the inner machination. Sometimes you hesitate to pull the trigger. But today, Kirk Cousins actually addressed the media. Let's hear from the former Falcons starting quarterback.
I don't think, you know, in my years in the league, I've never really had, like, expectations or been surprised. I think you know that the league, anything can happen.
Well, that's pretty succinct. And then he stormed out the door, right? Oh, boy. Now, what was interesting is last night, of course, due to the Monday night game, Raheem Morris addressed the media late yesterday afternoon, and clearly he knew that the decision had already been made because the news broke around 8:36 last night that Michael Penix would be the starting quarterback. So he kind of alluded to it by saying, well, all options are on the table, in essence of what he said. But let's hear from Kirk Cousins on the change at quarterback. Kirk Cousins. Let's hear from Raheem Morris on the change at quarterback.
You know, we discuss it with everybody, you know, and obviously our owner's always going to be involved in what we do in more of a supportive role more than anything. And he is extremely supportive and has been, you know, since I've been here, even as an assistant. He's been supportive with everything we've done from the draft, from free agency, from decision making, from things that we need, things that we want, the building, everything that we do. So he's always going to be involved in all those type of things. And then obviously it definitely has some financial implications for us and how you go about your process, and definitely one of those deals. But we're always going to make football decisions in order to win the football game. And that's always going to be first and foremost.
Well, okay. Terry Fontenot, I guarantee you, Falcons don't make the playoffs, we may be looking for a new general manager, certainly. Rookie class hasn't really shown anything. Of course, the biggest loss, though, Breece Hall in the preseason. You're counting on him defensively. He gets hurt, out for the year. Ruka Rororo, he can't stay on the field. When he has, though, it seems like lately he is kind of showing up. He's popping here and there. Jury's still out clearly on him.
Yeah, you lost Braylon Trice.
Braylon Trice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got his name wrong, but that's okay. But, yeah, that was one guy I was really intrigued about. That was supposed to be a guy that could get to the quarterback. That was what he was brought in for, but we're going to have to wait a year and see if that's going to be the case. Okay, the decision has been made. And like I've been saying, it is just such a shocking thing to see an NFL quarterback as accomplished as Kirk Cousins just completely lose it. Seems like he can no longer process information. He was known as an elite processor of information. Be very dangerous with the play action game, but that's not the case anymore, because if the pocket's not perfect, play action's not going to work. Throws interceptions. We saw that. Turns the ball over. And you go back and look at tapes of games. You see guys that were left wide open. Didn't see them. Does not have as much zip on his ball. I think it's a combination of the mental and the physical, and I think it's gotten really mental. And David Archer brought up a good point, and let's play some of these Arch cuts as well from earlier today. But Arch said something interesting today, how Kirk Cousins is so maniacal about preparation to the point where it's almost obsessive-compulsive disorder. And he overwhelms himself to where he almost just short-circuits his mind because he is so devoted to preparation, almost to a detriment, and became a detriment. And then when things started going against him, you could see his body language on the sideline, the looks on his face. It's like a guy that had no answers whatsoever. But let's hear from David Archer about, schematically, how are things going to be different with Michael Penix under center? It's going to be pretty different, too, as well.
Well, first of all, you'll have a boot in the game. I mean, you haven't had any boots right in the game at all. You're running wide zone, and the counter to wide zone is the boot off of it. You haven't been able to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Penix brings that to the table. Now, to think that you've just inserted Michael Vick in at quarterback, don't get delirious on that. And I know you guys aren't, but the fans maybe see it. NBC number 7, he's left-handed. Oh, we're going to get guys right. The quarterback's going to run all the things. That's not what Penix does. Okay, Penix is a pocket passer that has the ability to move, and you're going to be able to do some stuff like you're talking about. Move the launch point. Change it. Come with some bootleg stuff off of it. And I don't think they'll exclusively boot him to his left side.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that. You know, defensive coordinators are going to say, well, the only way they boot is to the left. I'll have a guy wide out. I'll have a guy in a 9 technique. We'll just take away the boot. They won't be able to do that. He'll have to boot against his arm. But what it will do is it will insert it into the game plan. And you will have the ability when things break down, and as much as you'd like to throw the ball on time, drop, hitch, throw, ball comes out. Randy, you know that's not the way the game's played. Most of the game is played, you'd like to think 50% of the time you can throw it on time, but the other 50% of the time you're having to buy time. You're having to slide. You're having to move in the pocket. And Penix is really good. And it is pocket awareness and moving in the pocket. If you go back and look at his time at Washington, I thought he was outstanding, not running with the ball, but just moving in the pocket to provide himself an opportunity to get the ball out. And I think you saw a little bit of that, and the only game he played was against the Dolphins in the preseason. He did some of that.
All right, we got some other news that came out today. I forgot to mention this. Younghoe Koo placed on the injured reserve. Going to be replaced by Riley Patterson. Signing him away from the Browns practice squad. He had a brief stint on Atlanta's practice squad last time Koo was listed as injured. So Riley Patterson, okay. And of course, we know Koo's struggles this year. I think his were a combination of mental and physical. But anyway, Kirk Cousins actually talked to the team today and Michael Penix. Let's hear what he had to say about that.
Well, we've had meetings, talked to Mike last night and just let him know I'd be in his corner and supporting him and trying to help him any way I can. And, you know, the quarterback room, just, you know, when I'm playing, it's a working force, you know, to help us all. And it's the same now. That doesn't change. So, you know, that sometimes you're just stating the obvious, but you know, still stated it.
Well, Kirk, I think the problem is you clearly forgot how to play football.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback. You know, certainly the turnovers were not what you want, but I didn't forget how to play.
What about his future?
I didn't forget how to play.
All right. Okay, Kirko. What about your future, Kirk? What does the future hold for you? Please tell us about your future.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, you're kind of one day at a time right now, and you kind of always are in this league. And then, you know, in the offseason, that's when conversations happen, but we're not there yet.
All right, as for his struggles, I offered up that it was a combination of the physical and the mental. The physical is so frustrating. He tried to do everything he could to compensate for that, those shortcomings physically, to where it just burned him out psychologically. Here's Kirk on whether or not injuries actually played a role in the whole thing.
No, I think, you know, going back to the turnovers, I think, you know, that's more probably decision-making than anything. And, you know, that wouldn't have anything to do with any physical limitations. So I wouldn't say so.
So we cover both with one soundbite. You said the turnovers were just bad decision-making and not injury-related is what he says. He would never admit that, though. Number one, because he does have trade value. All right, as for the financials, if the Falcons cut him prior to the start of the league year, they would have $65 million in dead money. Now, the NFL salary cap's what, about $275, $280, something like that. If they are able to trade him, the $27.5 million base salary guarantee would transfer over to the team that acquires Kirk Cousins. Falcons will be on the hook for $37.5 million. You know, the prorated money. And if you're all worried about that, don't worry about it right now. It's not your money.
Yeah, I would say projected salary cap for 2025 is $273
million. 273. Okay, there we go. Now think about this. Think about what's going on out there in Denver. Russell Wilson certainly did not work out with Sean Payton. They did not see eye to eye on anything whatsoever. Well, the Broncos are still paying him $39 million this year from the guaranteed loot in his 2022 contract. They've already paid him over $85 million of the $124 million in guarantees before cutting him earlier this year. So they're paying him $39 million, but guess what's going on in Denver? They found their quarterback, Bo Nix. It looks like it. They're 9-5. They've won four in a row. There are ways to massage it, defer the money.
Yeah.
There's
yep.
all sorts of ways, defer it, up, just all sorts of. I'm not a capologist. I'm not too worried about that. But my big concern is also, though, the reason I do kind of worry about it is the fact you're not going to have a third-round pick or a fifth-round pick next year. That third-round pick goes to New England in the Matthew Judon deal. And the fifth-round pick that you lost due to tampering, which was such a petty thing, Kirk Cousins basically reached out to the Falcons medical staff before signing the deal, basically as a logistics thing maybe. But you're not allowed to do that. And it seems like there's many more egregious things that teams get away with other than something as petty as that.
Yeah.
Fifth round pick can be very valuable. Be very valuable. Third round pick, that's supposed to be a starter.
Yeah.
How's it work? Your first round pick should be a multi-pro bowler, borderline Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Second rounder, very solid player. He's going to play, I don't know, 12 to 15 years with numerous pro bowls. Just a stalwart.
Mm-hmm.
Third rounders can be pleasant surprises. But, you know, you also got to remember this, though. What is it? It's like 33% of the NFL's undrafted players. Isn't that crazy to think about? That shows you all the attention, all the resources, all the money that goes into evaluating players. It's still a crapshoot.
It's an imperfect science, and sometimes...
And it never will be perfect.
It's just, hey, sometimes it just happened to work for this guy.
Yeah, and that's because you're dealing with young men that are less than 25 years old. When you're 25 years old... That's when your executive functioning kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the frontal lobe of your brain.
Yeah, they say your brain is fully developed.
Yes, you learn the consequences of your actions. That's why we draft 18-year-olds to run into the foxholes. A 25-year-old, I ain't running in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why. That's why it's such an exact science. They go all the way back and talk to kids' kindergarten teachers, trying to look for any red flags, anything like that. You just never know.
You remember in the really bad Draft Day movie where they were talking about...
the Kevin Costner movie? Yes.
Bo Callahan.
Nobody came to his birthday party.
That's a red flag, man. Yeah.
And as a result, they gave him to Seattle.
Exactly.
And they got that young, earnest kid, Bo Callahan.
Yes.
Nobody went to his birthday party.
Yep. Nobody went to his birthday party.
Well, that's the thing. I would look into that. Your quarterback and nobody goes to his party,
we joke about it, but then there are certain times where we saw in the case, what was the player? Justin Blackmon, the wide receiver at Jacksonville.
One of the things,
another team, they said that they had someone literally follow him around and they saw how, like, he was always going to bars and partying and they were like, they took him off of their board because they saw some red flags off the field and was like, hey, we're not going to do that. So we like it's an imperfect science. It's a lot of stuff that seems wacky, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it works, sometimes because of that executive functioning, man. It's still a wild card. It's a crapshoot. It is. What is it, 55, 56% of first-round quarterbacks end up being busts?
Yep.
No way to explain it. That's why 33% of the NFL's undrafted guys. Those kids are hungry, man. They haven't had anything handed to them. They had to earn it. They didn't come out of high school with a $2 million NIL deal.
Yeah, no.
Private jet and geisha girls galore. We're going to come back. Let's talk a little college football, shall we? Playoffs start Friday night, one game Friday night, three games on Saturday. And then 2 weeks from tomorrow, Georgia will get the winner of Notre Dame, Indiana. Does Indiana have a shot in that game? What about the weather? Ain't it going to be too cold for the Volunteers? No. Knoxville's in the mountains. It's cold in the mountains. SMU, that's another story. Get into all that next. It's Tribble Tonight. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Stay away from Bo Callahan.
I think we ain't done yet.
Letting the spit fly.
For me, it's the intensity.
This is 92.9 The Game Tonight.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
It's Tribble Tonight, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Live in the Kia Studios, flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons. 1 o'clock kick on Sunday. Michael Penix makes his Falcon debut under center as the starter as the hapless Giants come to town. Of course, I'll be doing the Falcons flyover live at the Signia Marriott Hotel right there. Signia by Hilton, not Marriott. Good Lord. Hilton, not Marriott. That beautiful hotel right next door to Mercedes-Benz Stadium about 2 hours after the final whistle. Come by. Beautiful, beautiful establishment. How about this, though? According to SeatGeek, 42% of ticket sales for the Tennessee-Ohio State game are coming from the state of Tennessee. They're going to try to take over the horseshoe. They're expecting maybe about 35,000 Volunteer fans up there. Ohio State, a 7.5-point favorite in that game. 17 degrees, slight chance of snow for that 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. 4 p.m. Saturday on TNT, Clemson, a 10.5-point underdog, taking on Texas. And we have SMU going to Penn State. That's going to be a noon kickoff, so it won't be quite as deadly cold up there as it could be. Down in the teens at night, probably upper 20s for that noon kickoff. But that might be a little much for SMU. All those Texas boys, a lot of that team also from Florida and California. The cold might be a little much for them. As for Tennessee, no. They're in Knoxville. They're in the mountains. It gets cold there. Indiana taking on Notre Dame also. Indiana might be a bit outmanned, but good for that school. Something to root for up there in gloomy Bloomington, Indiana. Because the basketball team hasn't been very good, so at least they have something to cheer for. Winner of that game, of course, is going to take on University of Georgia in the Sugar Bowl on January 1st. Now, of course, Georgia Tech lost their best receiver, Eric Singleton, to the transfer portal. He's demanding upwards of $1 million to sign on the dotted line. But Georgia Tech has landed this receiver from Florida International. Cannot remember his name, but apparently he's a pretty productive, good receiver. But basically my whole thing is also, how about this? Deion Sanders gets a pretty prized recruit. Alabama defensive tackle Jaheim Otis, he was a number one ranked player in the portal. He's committed to Colorado. 6'5", 320 pounds, 2 years left of eligibility. Of course, he wants to be under the tutelage of Warren Sapp, who, of course, is under Deion's staff up there in Boulder. Now, how about this? All 12 programs in the playoffs have lost numerous players to the transfer portals. A lot of times it's just going to be backups, reserves, et cetera. Yeah. Arizona State, they have lost 12 kids to the transfer portal.
Oof. Goodness.
And a lot of these kids have no choice. That's because this system is clearly broken. There is absolutely no reason for this portal to be open right now. But again, but it has to be. Because spring semester starts in January. They have to get to their new school and get registered and all this stuff. I don't know what the – I've heard one interesting solution to the whole thing? How about ditching spring practice altogether? Open up the portal in like May and then have a mini camp or something and then your summer practice.
I can see that.
Is spring practice really all that useful? Because you have it, you have your spring game.
Yeah.
Then you don't play a game for 5 months.
Yeah.
Is it really that useful?
Yeah, I think we can bypass that.
Maybe that's the only thing, because this is ridiculous, having the portal open during the middle of the college football playoff. It's a huge distraction for coaches.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous what has happened. They've got to figure this out somehow. It doesn't seem like it'd be that difficult to figure out.
Yeah, I think skipping spring game is the easiest in spring practice.
That's the only thing I can come up with.
It's a very easy one to do, too.
Or maybe you have all the games done by January 1st, but you have a 12-team playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you get rid of a regular season game? No. Do you start the season a week earlier, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. They've got to come up with some solution. In the NIL, I don't know what the hell would be the solution. Do you have guaranteed, you have contracts they have to sign that they have to honor? You have to play in the bowl game. You can't transfer. Otherwise, you owe the money back. I don't know. Would that open them up for litigation? I'm sure some lawyer would find a way to launch a class action suit.
Yeah, someone's going to
try. Class action suits
pay
a lot of money. I don't know, but you got to fix it because it just seems ridiculous. This is like a guy that's playing for the, well, we suck right now. I play for the Chicago Bears. We suck. I'm just going to transfer to Detroit. I'm going to play for the Lions. That's what I want to do. Imagine if it was just the Wild West like that in the NFL. At least there's some, they've got to come up with some structure. I think the best way, just do away with spring football.
I think that's oftentimes the simplest solution is the best one. I think that's the simplest. I think that's the easiest. Just, hey, bypass spring practice, spring games. They don't matter. Use that time for the transfer window, get guys in, and then we take it from there.
And I've said it 100 times, you're going to drive your best coaches out of college football. They're going to get burned out and tired of the whole nonsense. I'm tired of re-recruiting my roster every year as well as trying to recruit other players. Yeah. And how's that going to affect high school recruiting, too? Your elite program is just going to keep players just be a revolving door from one elite program to another. A lot of high school kids may not get access to I don't know. It's just
– it's.
I don't like – there's such an ick factor associated with college football right now. I just don't like it.
I always talk about how funny it is now when, like, you see a kid, like, commit to a school or something like that, and they say that he signed a deal.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, signed a deal and be
pencil,
there now.
Disappearing ink.
You know, it's just funny seeing how all of that stuff gets the phrasing around it now.
Well, since when's the deadline? The 28th? So is Kirk Cousins going to get in the transfer portal? Going to go to the Giants or something. Is that how this is going to work? It's just, it's absurd. They've got to figure something out. And I've talked about this before. It's my buddies and me. We've said there's kind of an ick factor. I don't begrudge. I mean, my God, if I was an elite football player, basketball player in high school, I would go after every possible penny. I would try to get everything I possibly could. But that's going to damage the entire sport. But those individuals don't care as long as they get there. So something has to be done to save the sport, to save your best coaches from going elsewhere.
Absolutely. And also, for coaches that are going to be upset about stuff like this, you have to look at yourself, because a big part of the reason why a lot of the kids will do stuff like this is because they've watched you all do stuff like this. You all go out and recruit kids and tell them that you're going here, and then you take a job and leave those kids high and
totally
dry,
agree.
And you're gone somewhere like 2 weeks later. So,
but at least there's a buyout with coaches. Though. Yeah, it's only one person leaving. Yeah, it is the alpha male of the program, but you're not losing 12 players.
Yeah, you're not losing half your program.
But one of the virtues of it, though, also, I like the fact that Arizona State's in the playoff, Indiana, SMU. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I love it.
A lot of people don't. I heard Cam Newton say, nobody wants to see it. I want to see
it. I do.
I totally want to see it.
Like, I'm for everyone that was like, oh, the first round matchups are just going to be blowouts.
Not necessarily.
I think all of these matchups have potential to be very good games.
They absolutely
I'm extremely
do.
Excited about the first round.
Now, you can see that maybe some teams are going to have a little bit more elite talent, maybe be a little bit deeper. But if teams that are in there now, they're in there for a reason. If they play their A game, they can give the favored team fits. And if Indiana hangs around against Notre Dame late into that ball game, Notre Dame like pucker a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We could have some March Madness Cinderellas. I didn't think it'd be possible in college football, but now I think it's very possible.
When you see it, I say that's the thing. You just got to, you know, I was surprised when they jumped to 12 so quickly.
Yeah.
From 4, but.
Oh, it'll be 16 in 2 years.
Oh, yeah, I would say it. They're going to try and make this their version of March Madness. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yep. They got to get a fix on it though. Certainly. So right now we have the LA Bowl going on. UNLV taking on Cal. That game's just underway. I didn't see what the Western Kentucky
James Madison
score was. What's that? Yeah, the Boca Raton Bowl. So another thing is, a lot of people poo-poo these games, and I have too. I go, who wants to watch UNLV take on Cal? Well, you never know. College football is so crazy, and every game's its own little individual drama. You can get crazy finishes. I think there's a really crazy finish last night in some bowl game that I missed. Just the unpredictability of college football can make any bowl game, for the most part, very compelling. And it depends on the level of engagement of players, too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, unless you get an FSU in the Orange Bowl last year against Georgia. But for the most part, a lot of these games can be pretty good. So.
Yes, and just to be clear, James Madison did beat Western Kentucky.
Okay, what was that
27-17.
There we go. So if you had Western Kentucky and the points, they covered, I guess, I would imagine. I don't know. I have no idea. If you're betting on that game, you've got a problem. You know, I bet on the Pro Bowl 1 year.
Hey, listen. If you find a good line, I'm not mad.
I lost $50, but I quit sports gambling a long time ago. Because here's what happens: I started doing it. What happens? Like when you go to the casino, when you start, you win, mm-hmm. and you win, and you win. Yeah. Then you start to lose. I go, well, if I just bet one more time, one more time. No, next thing you know.
Yeah, nope. Next thing you know, one more time until there is no more.
And I have a really good friend of mine. He knows nothing about sports. California surfer dude. And he got so wrapped up into gambling. I think the Brewers were playing the A's on a Tuesday night in May. Mm-hmm. He goes, hey, Tribbs, I got the Brewers and A's tonight. Who you got? I go, I have no idea. Why are you betting on that? That's how behind everything he was, because he was desperately clinging to try to get himself back above water.
Yeah, that's the worst. Ooh. That's the worst. You can't get desperate and try and gamble your way out of the red.
Now all I'll do, I'll throw $20 on the longest shot at a horse race, you know, one of the Triple Crown races.
Yeah, might as
or
well.
Or maybe some prop bet at the Super Bowl or early season now, maybe sometimes if a line just seems vulgar, especially if it involves Georgia favored by 40 over UMass or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know they're not going to cover because Kirby never wants to cover.
He's not running. He's
just going to run the ball and get the hell out of there, basically. Uh-huh. So sometimes there's a way to do that. But, okay, there you have it. All right, I guess we got one more segment left. Then we're going to call it a night. Again, Michael Penix getting the start on Sunday. We heard from Kirk Cousins. Doesn't know about his future, just taking it one day at a time. He said the turnovers were just mistakes. He's not injured. So that's just football. It happens. Feel bad for him, but. Excited about Michael Penix. Going to be some juice in that building on Sunday. Falcons still have a lot of things to play for. Win all three. Hope Tampa Bay stubs their toe. You win the division. It's still possible. Still something to root for on Sunday. Going to be exciting with Penix under center. All right, we're going to come back. Let's go around the NFL, shall we? There's lots of things to report. Here, how about this stat here? The New York Mets have won a game more recently than three of these teams in the NFL. We'll get into that next. It's Tribble tonight, Sports Radio 990 Game.
Let's go get it, baby. Let's go do it. Come on.
Sports doesn't stop at night, and neither do we.
Let's get the show going, man.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tribble tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, ESPN. So, what ESPN did, they simulated the rest of the NFL season, 48 regular season games. They have the Falcons beating the Giants 33-30. Yeah, the Giants score 30. Tim Boyle goes off on the Falcons, I guess.
I was at 33-30. They got both guys going crazy.
Let's see what else they had. I lost it now. Okay. They have the Falcons also beating the Commanders.
Okay.
So far, what do the Falcons need to do? Win three in a row.
Yeah.
Then under the computer simulation, they have the Panthers beating the Falcons 31-10.
31-10.
To end the season here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
What? I need to know what criteria, what was the algorithm that was used for this machine?
I have no idea. I think they like simulate the games like 100 times.
But they simulate them 100 times
on Madden? Something like that. Yeah, I guess that's what they do. And I think they had the Buccaneers winning their last three games. So
they have the Falcons out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they have the Falcons out of the playoffs. Yes, they do. So there you go. So no sense even playing the games now, right?
31-10 to the 31, Panthers?
Yeah, right?
Goodness gracious.
I still think the Panthers could be a problem because they're playing much better under Dave
Bryce
Pinellas.
Bryce Young
has talked about this.
He settled down.
The game has slowed down.
Exactly. I was going to say, I think he is one of the rare instances where benching a guy actually has the intended outcome.
Right.
Where he needed to sit back and watch a veteran run this offense so that way you can see, hey, this is what happens when you just run the play that is called and you trust the offense.
Right. We have some benchings, too, of our quarterbacks. Jameis Winston benched up there in Cleveland for Dorian Tofts. Remember him from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know what Jameis is, though. Jameis can put you on his back for about 3 weeks, and then the bottom will drop out.
Yeah.
That's what he's always been. Remember, he famously had that year he threw 30 touchdown passes, 30 interceptions. Because he's crazy. And we love crazy Jameis, but that's what he's going to give you. He's not going to be consistent. Will Levis benched for Mason Rudolph in their game coming up against the Colts, and Will Levis has just been terrible. We certainly know that. And, of course, you know about Kirk Cousins. Riley Patterson will now handle the kicking duties for the Atlanta Falcons. This doesn't bring me much comfort. Younghoe Koo, injured reserve, but he's been horribly inaccurate this year. We don't know what happened with him. We know injury may have played a role in that, but clearly we know they had no confidence in him because the other night they're punting with the ball in their own 40-yard line.
Yeah,
basically.
I was going to say, they had that moment where they thought about kicking it, and then they called a timeout and said,
they tried to draw him offside or something weird like that. But Riley Patterson, 59 of – he's a journeyman, 59 of 67 for his career. But the bad thing is, beyond 50 yards, only 3 of 6. Riley Patterson, he's a Virgo, which means if you're a Virgo, you're kind and supportive, you're analytical, you have great attention to detail, you're perfectionist, very hard workers.
Okay.
So we're getting a very kind and supportive, hardworking kicker in Riley Patterson, who played
like
college
that.
Ball at Memphis. Okay.
Sounds good. I can sign up for that on the roster.
Despite not winning a game since October 18th, the Mets have won a game more recently than the Giants, Raiders, and Bears.
Boy. And the Raiders and Giants expected, I think a lot of people forgot, the Bears started off the season like 4-2.
I know. Everybody's excited. Well, they brought in the pieces that rookie quarterback's going to need, and now it's just...
I keep going back to it. That Hail Mary
I was about to say, that
against
broke
the Commanders
them. That broke them.
It broke them in their entire season.
And they're gonna break Caleb Williams because that's where quarterbacks go to die in Chicago.
Yeah,
they notoriously cannot develop quarterbacks.
Listen,
they're missing Jay Cutler to this day.
In my lifetime, Jay Cutler is legitimately the best quarterback I've ever seen play for the Chicago Bears. That says something.
Yep.
I mean, you can make a legitimate case Jay Cutler might be the second best quarterback in Bears franchise history behind, like, Sid Luckman.
Or Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
Or what was his name? Bobby Douglas.
Bobby Douglas.
Bobby Douglas. He was a left-handed quarterback, late 60s, early 70s, legit dual threat.
Okay.
That dude could run, but he also had a really good arm. He was good, but they never won anything, though.
Okay. They had Kyle Orton there for a few years.
Yep. God, Kyle Orton played everywhere.
But it's strange what goes on there with the Bears. I know one thing. The McCaskies better be turning to Ben Johnson and giving him a blank check.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people love the idea of Mike Vrabel going there. I don't know where he's going to go. Is he going to go home to Ohio State? I don't know if he wants to deal with a college headache. I don't know.
I like Vrabel a lot. I think he'll have success anywhere he goes.
He needs a really good offensive coordinator, though.
I think so, too. And that worries me with him in Chicago. Yeah. If I'm in Chicago, I want someone who I know can work with a quarterback.
Yep.
And Ben Johnson basically resurrected Jared.
The guy for
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Ben Johnson resurrected Jared Goff's career in Detroit. That offense is amazing. By all means, that's
and
who
Jared
I
Goff is going to get some MVP consideration.
Absolutely.
Josh
yes,
Allen is going to get the MVP, yeah. But he's having a nice year. But I feel bad for the Bears. But what a game that was the other night, them and the Bills. Good Lord, what a shootout that was.
Mm.
And the Bills lost a shootout the week before to the Rams.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Bills are going to light up the scoreboard, but their defense, that could sink them. But I don't know. If they can score 40 and 50, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and Josh Allen, the way he's playing, man. He's...
Well, it's because he got engaged.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah,
man. I mean, good for him. What was like Haley Steinfeld's her name?
Yes, Haley Steinfeld.
Actor, right? Yeah,
Actress, yes.
I'd know her if I saw her. I'm sure she's just horribly homely and not attractive because NFL quarterbacks do not get good looking.
Yeah, they don't. They don't get the cute girls. Chicks don't dig the quarterback.
Well, Joe Burrow, when he got his house broken into, the one who made the call is a Sports Illustrated model, and apparently he's stringing along several different chicks too. But hey, you're Joe Burrow.
Like
hey,
Joe
you're
Cool.
Joe Burrow. Joe Cool.
Joey Burr.
What are you gonna do? Of course. I mean, why not? Jeez. Thomas Dimitroff, very interested in the Jets GM job. Don't scoff at it. A lot of people in this town, I do. He wasn't always perfect, but he built us into a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah,
Went to the Super Bowl with him. He wasn't perfect, no.
Yeah.
He did a lot of good things. And I think if I'm the Jets, I want somebody that's done the job before.
The thing that's...
But does Woody Johnson want Aaron Rodgers back? That's the question.
That's the question. But also, like, I feel kind of bad for the Jets GM because you built a good team, and then Aaron Rodgers showed up and just kind of gutted everything.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, and also got hurt his first.
Yeah, he got hurt.
What, first snap of his first game last year, and that threw a wrench into everything.
I always say the Jets. It's a very funny situation. What happened to them was because they were a team that got good.
Yep.
Too quick. They got good way sooner than they thought they would. Like, they drafted Zach Wilson. I think that they thought that they would have time to build and all that. And then it was like, okay, well, no, our defense is, like, elite.
It is.
We've got some pieces on offense. We're kind of ready to win
Especially
now.
Especially that D-line they had.
Exactly. And it's
or
like,
still have.
We're kind of ready to win now. Zach Wilson, we don't have time for you to figure out how to be a quarterback.
Right.
So we're going to make a desperate move to get Aaron Rodgers in here. And then because we're the Jets and we haven't won anything since Joe Namath, we're going to acquiesce to everything that he says. And now you find yourself as a 4-win team.
Well, by the way, Rex, we've talked about this. Rex Ryan openly lobbying for the Jets job, wants to go back there. Had some success, got him to
Rex Ryan and Thomas Dimitroff.
Yeah. Didn't he get him to more than one AFC championship game, I believe?
I know for a fact they made it to one because one of them was against
and
the
Steelers.
And
that was when butt fumble quarterback. That was
yeah,
his
Mark
rookie,
Sanchez.
Yeah, his rookie
the
year.
The Sanchez.
Yeah, the rookie year they got to the AFC championship game with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I want to say they made it to two
yeah.
with Rex Ryan yeah. and Sanchez.
Just tone down the veneers,
Sanchez,
my friend.
Goodness.
let's go back and hear some of the Kirk Cousins sound from today. He addressed the media over numerous subjects. And the one thing is, and I accused him of this, and I said it to his face. You heard me, Dom, earlier. Kirk, you've forgotten how to play football.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback. Certainly the turnovers were not what you want, but I didn't forget how to play.
You know, that must have been the most painful press conference for him to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a fun one.
He's a pro. He's a polished gentleman. He's a distinguished gentleman. He did it, but God, that's got to be the worst.
I mean, granted, also, I'm getting paid $100 million no matter what, so that makes it a little easier.
Makes it a little bit easier, but he has so much money, and a lot of people that – I know a lot of very wealthy people. I'm their pauper friend, and a lot of them, you know, I've got everything I ever wanted, but I'm still unhappy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a simplistic thing to say, well, you know, he's got 200 million reasons to be happy.
Oh yeah, no. Well, listen, I think he absolutely
not when you
feels
devote
away.
Your life, yeah,
right? Because I think he absolutely wanted it to work here, and I think he felt like he had a really good shot for it to work. I mean, listen, we remember how we all felt at the beginning of the year. Everyone here was talking about, hey, this is a team that's going to win 10, 11, 12 games.
Yep, and they still could get to 10.
You can still get to 10. You can 10 is still attainable, but I think that just at the beginning of the year there was so much optimism.
Yep.
And it started off great, and then reality kind of set in. And
well, not that Steelers game.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Your team didn't start off without even scoring a touchdown. Like, geez, that was just like what?
But
well, it's just a little rust. He'll be all right.
Yeah, then, first
of course,
game.
We had Kirk-tober.
That's it. And then you had Kirk-tober.
You had Kirk-tober, baby. What else did he talk? Oh, he talked to the team. He talked to Michael. He said he's gonna be there for him.
Well, we've had meetings. Talked to Mike last night and just let him know I'd be in his corner and supporting him and trying to help him any way I can. And, the quarterback room, just when I'm playing, it's a working force, to help us all. And it's the same now. That doesn't change. So, that sometimes you're just stating the obvious, but still stated it.
And I hear they have a really good relationship. I hear he likes the kid. Kid likes him. And I'm sure he's going to do everything he can to help. Why not? You're still getting paid.
Absolutely.
I mean, those game checks, good Lord, those are some nice game checks for him.
It's a nice, as a backup quarterback.
Lord. Because remember, they only get paid during the season.
Yeah.
So they get 18, preseason games too, I suppose. But that's a big check.
Yeah. And then I think once they get to the postseason, everyone gets the same amount per game.
Right. So, okay. What else did he have to say today?
He talked about the problems weren't injury related. He also talked about, not wanting to just talk about his future.
No, Kirk, tell us about your future. Do it. Say it.
One day at a time right now, and you kind of always are in this league. And then, in the offseason, that's when conversations happen, but we're not there yet.
There you go. Well, we know the financials. Dead money, $65 million if he's cut. If he's traded, Falcons will have to pay $37 million. The team that acquires him, $27 million. There will be some suitors. We were talking to Squiddy Ducton here, and I said, what about Kyle Shanahan? He loves Kirk Cousins, but he said, well, Kyle likes to run a bootleg game, and Kirk can't boot. I don't know. Tennessee needs a quarterback. Giants need a quarterback. The teams that are going to be picking high in the draft, if they don't get their quarterback, there's going to be some market for Kirk Cousins. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, for sure.
And as for a lot of people out there worried about the money, what about the money? There's ways to massage the cap. If you have good capologists, you can defer the money. There's all sorts of ways to deal with that. So it's not going to be that big of a deal. I'm more concerned about losing your third-round pick during the Judon trade and the fifth-round pick due to the tampering with Kirk Cousins. I don't like losing two draft picks. That's why the Falcons couldn't make a move at the deadline.
Yep.
Those are two bargaining chips.
Yeah,
a third-rounder is usually a primo piece that a team is willing to depart with.
A third and a fifth, yeah. more than
Yeah.
In most situations, it's more than enough to get a good player in.
They were handcuffed as far as that goes. All right. Hawks back in action tomorrow night. Going to be on the road at San Antonio. Fun team to watch. They actually have me watching basketball in December. Doesn't happen very often. Dom, excellent work tonight, my friend. That was fun.
Always, man.
We're all rooting for Riley Patterson. Make some kicks on Sunday. Rooting for Michael Penix. Let's get a win. Let's win the last three. Tampa Bay stubs their toe. Let's go to the playoffs. Please, can we just go to the playoffs for once in this city? Can we have nice sports things? Can we have nice football things? All right, this has been Tribble Tonight. Back with you on Sunday for the Falcons Flyover, Sports Radio 929 The Game.